So I wonder, just a little show of hands. It's not a film that I'm about to ask you about, those of you who know me. A little show of hands. How many of you have heard of Thomas Burchill? Thomas Burchill. Does that ring any bells? Well, let me tell you, he was a missionary 200 or 300 years ago who was at the very vanguard of the anti-slavery movement. And in certain parts of Jamaica, he is hailed as a great hero. But he was born and brought up in the Cotswolds, and no one's heard of him here in England. He was this incredible, dynamic, wonderful Christian character. And about 10 years ago on TV, there was a show called Reverse Missionaries. And it was all about missionaries from countries where missionaries had gone, coming back to England to preach the good news. Because they heard with horror that there was a great lack of faith in the United Kingdom. Now this chap, I've got a little picture of him up here. His name is Franklin Small, and he's there at King Stanley, a little church in the Cotswolds, which was the place where Mr. Burchill, the Reverend Burchill, set off to begin his missionary work. And as far as this guy was concerned, Burchill was one of the great heroes. He was incredible. He was remarkable. He needed celebrating. And he wanted to come back and proclaim the good news and also remind this little village that they were once home to a great Christian hero. It was, I believe, in fact I know because I looked it up, Horace who wrote these words about people who are unsung heroes. He wrote, "In endless nights they sleep, unwept, unknown, no bard had they to make all time their own." Horace saw something of the tragedy in that. He said, if you have a real hero, it's great to celebrate them. But so many people are heroic. So many of them are heroic. And we don't hear much about them. I think probably the most heroic person that I've ever encountered was a lady at NCBC, my former church, called Mary, who was dying of cancer. And when she spoke to me, I had never in all of my life experienced such a demonstration of bravery and Christian faith. And she really was the most remarkable lady. And I think to myself, my goodness, if only her words could have been proclaimed, she would be famous for her bravery. But in actuality, just a few people knew of how wonderful she was. Now, we all know that in the Bible, they celebrate people for heroic faith, demonstrations of their faith, which are wonderful. There's a very, very famous list, of course, in Hebrews, with some unusual names on it. But you know something? Luke had his eye on certain people as well. Dear old Dr. Luke, a bit of a Christian hero in his own way, no doubt, for the faithful way in which he reported all about Jesus. But as you read through Luke's gospel and as you read through Acts, you discover there are certain people who Luke obviously just thought were amazing. One of them we've heard about in this morning's reading, that is Barnabas. And unlike the reverse missionary chap who came back to preach the good news, I don't have a picture of Barnabas. All I've got is some depiction of him. And I can imagine if he was here with us, he would say, "I didn't look anything like that." But there we are. There is an iconic depiction of St. Barnabas. He was a great, great chap. And Luke obviously adored him. And what I want to do this morning is very simple. I want to have a little look at this passage of scripture, which mentions him, and see just how Barnabas approached matters of life and faith, why he was a hero, and how he can inspire us. So I hope that will be a pleasant 20 minutes or so as we head towards coffee time, and something as well, I pray, that will inspire us on through the week. So why is Barnabas a hero of faith? First of all, I want to have a look at a scriptural verse. There it is. It says, he was a good man. That is an extremely rare statement in God's word. It's very rare that you find anyone being referred to as good. In fact, when someone comes up to Jesus and calls him good and says, good teacher, Jesus stops them and says, why are you calling me good? When only God is good. So let me emphasize, it's high praise indeed. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And a great number of people were brought to the Lord. And I think that if we study just that sentence, if we look deeply into it, we start to see a kind of holy mechanism in place. We see how you become a hero of faith. Let me demonstrate by turning a few words red. So, he's a good man, he's full of the Holy Spirit, and he has faith. And the Holy Spirit, of course, is a gift from the Lord. He comes into our lives. He produces fruit. We read in the letter to the Galatians that one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is goodness. So we could say, as a reasonable guess, St. Barnabas' goodness came from the Holy Spirit. He was demonstrating the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we can also, incidentally, by looking at Galatians, look at how Barnabas came to that place of being filled and being dynamic and being good and being useful for what the Lord was doing. Let me read you a tiny excerpt from Galatians chapter 3. Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, and in verse 2 he said, I would like to learn just one thing from you. He's telling them off. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? So he said, did the Holy Spirit come and choose in his sovereign wisdom to make his dwelling place in you because you were super obedient to God's law? Or did he come and make his dwelling place in you because of your faith? Because you believe what you heard, then in his graciousness, the Holy Spirit came into you. He repeats it. He goes on in verse 5. Does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you have heard? And that is pivotal. There is something about faith. There is something about our belief, our trusting in God's promises, our trusting in what he has shared with us, that the Holy Spirit chooses to bless. He chooses to anoint and empower people of faith, people who believe, people like Barnabas. And so you see this little mechanism. You have faith. You have filling with the Holy Spirit, and you have doing. It's actually very simple. Barnabas doesn't seem to demonstrate any complex theory of Christian practice. He has faith, and the Holy Spirit fills him, and he gets on and he does amazing things, and he's a Christian hero. And when people like Dr. Luke meet him, they think, wow, and they write down stuff and say, everyone can learn from this incredible person. So what I want to do now is look at kind of four demonstrations of how Barnabas' faith and filling and doing actually work. And I hope that each of these four will be an inspiration for us. So first of all, I'm calling it faith in action. Four examples. He's got incredible empathy for outsiders. We read at the beginning of the passage, the Christians, who are all Jewish, are going out far and wide, and who are they preaching to? Jews. But then, they start preaching to Gentiles, to Greeks. It just happens in a small place. And Barnabas gets involved straight away. People who were very much held on the outside of things, who were viewed with disdain by many Jewish people. Barnabas, as a Jew, wants to welcome them in. And so we ask a question, why? Why do you have empathy for outsiders as a person of faith? Well, all the way through God's word, you read that if you trust in the Lord, if you put your faith in his promises, if you believe that what he's saying is true, it makes you an outsider because the world doesn't think like that. The deeper you get into the Lord and his ways, the further you get from the ways of the world. Some Christians, I often say this, they're outsiders by choice. They are deliberately provocative and unpleasant and use Christ as a bit of a beating stick to hold people at arm's length. That's not a good thing. But sometimes by simple obedience to Christ, you are ostracized, you are separate, you are seen as other. So as a man of faith, it's obvious for Barnabas. He sees some people who are on the outside. It's the Gentiles. And he says, well, I know just how they feel. I know precisely how these men and these women feel. They're not allowed to join in. They're seen as separate. They're seen as unworthy, as unholy, as untouchable. And I know just how they feel because I'm a Christian. Because I put my faith in Christ. So I'm going to go and stand with them. So you get this tremendous empathy. It is from the faith, part of the Holy Spirit's work in you, accessed through faith. Let's have a look at another example. He submits to God's call. And I think that this is a very interesting thing. Barnabas was sent out. He didn't say, I volunteer. He might have done, you never know. But basically, people got together. They prayed, they sought God's will, and they said, we, the church, have sought God, have prayed, and we commission you to go and do this thing. Go out. Leave the place where you live. Leave the comfort. Leave everything you've got. Travel to somewhere where you don't really know anyone and do the Lord's work there. We're sending you. We believe you are the person. It's in perfect obedience to what Jesus himself said at the end of Matthew. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age. And so, this is exactly what Barnabas does. He has simple obedience. He submits to God's call coming through the church. And what does he find? He finds that he is filled with the Holy Spirit. He is empowered and incredible things start happening. And he goes into the most wonderful time of his life. It is hard, genuinely hard, to find a missionary who has accepted some kind of difficult assignment who then comes back home and says, no, I wish I'd never done that. That was a waste of time. Usually, you find people who come back with a list as long as both arms of amazing blessings, miracles they have seen. Yes, sometimes scary things. Yes, sometimes terrible things. But a sense that God is in them and working through them, and it simply cannot be beaten. The idea of being where God wants you to be, the idea of doing what God has asked you, nay, commanded you to do, it also commands a blessing. And Barnabas is in the midst of it. He's obedient. He's submissive. He doesn't say, I'm doing this. He says, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I will do it. Lord, what is your will that I might obey it? Jesus, where are you going that I might follow? Those are the questions we ask. Too often we say, there's a job I want. Lord, give it to me promptly. Lord, I would like this, I would like that. We get it the wrong way around. Barnabas doesn't. Empathy, submission. There's another thing here. He's got an ability to see grace amid imperfection. It says here, when he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad. When he arrived and he saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad. Does that mean everyone in Antioch was perfect, I wonder? I wonder if the church at Antioch also had some difficulties. I wonder if, just as we read all the way through God's word, God's people get things wrong from time to time. And yet when Barnabas arrives, he rejoices because he sees the grace. Grace is the undeserved favor of God. So I'm guessing Barnabas saw plenty of things wrong, but he was aware of God's grace operating in the midst of it. When I was a relatively new Christian, I'd not been a Christian long, I had one of those things which, thank you Lord, I've not had too many. One of those times in the wilderness, you know, where you kind of just get depressed and down about everything and you wander off and everything's miserable. And I was in this wilderness place, I suppose, for about 3 months, maybe a bit longer. And I was walking down the street one day and I saw the home of my friend Heather. And Heather and I had been baptized together. So I thought, I'm going to knock on Heather's door. I'm going to see how she is. So I knocked on her door and it was not the warmest of welcomes. It was kind of like, oh, what do you want? Well, I suppose you can come in. So I went in and she made me a cup of tea. Thank you. And I said, how are you? How are you in the faith and things? And she went, just awful. And she began to tell me all the things that had gone wrong in her walk with the Lord. Things she'd done wrong. Stuff that she had got involved with that she shouldn't have done. And as she was talking, she suddenly frowned at me and said, why are you grinning? And she said, why are you smiling at me? I'm telling you all this bad stuff. And you're sitting there just grinning at me like some sort of a ninny. And I didn't have an answer immediately. I said, I don't know. And then I said, actually, I do. I know I'm with a Christian. Somebody who wasn't a Christian wouldn't give two hoots about all the stuff you're talking about. But you're complaining and you're worried and you're saying this stuff has in fact caused you so much pain. In fact, all I see when you're telling me that is a Christian who's having a tough time and who's fighting. And that encourages me deeply, Heather. My goodness me. Barnabas came along and he saw the grace. And he rejoiced. Wonderful thing. And we need to do that as well. As Christians, we can be really down about stuff. But you need to remember that God's grace works in the midst of all things. And even in the darkest moments, his grace abounds. Barnabas' faith helped him see that. And finally, in the second half of that marvelous verse, it says at the beginning, when he arrived, he saw the evidence of the grace of God. He was glad. And then it says, and he encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. That's so great. I've mentioned it before. We have a fraternity of ministers that pray here in the city centre. And if anyone does a good prayer, there's one of the ministers who always shouts, come on! Like that. He just gets excited. He goes, come on, yes! And that's not everyone's cup of tea. Some people think, oh, goodness me. He gets one or two peers from the top of glasses. But I praise the Lord for that heart that says, come on, that wants to encourage, that wants to G up. And that's what Barnabas did. He arrived and he saw everyone and he said, this is good. And then he said, hang in there. Please keep going. I wonder if, and I will make a film reference, any of you saw Band of Brothers? Yes, there's a few hearty Band of Brothers coming up there. There's a main character in it, Captain Winter. And everyone who brings a complaint to him, he says the same thing. He says, hang tough. He says exactly the same thing. Hang tough. They say, we're in the woods, the shells are falling down, there's splinters going everywhere, we're starving to death, we're freezing to death. All of these terrible things are happening. And he says, hang tough. Hang tough. And this is the kind of voice I think you'd have heard from Barnabas. Of course we face tough times. Of course there are difficult things. But you have gifted Christians who say, hang tough. who actually encourage you. They don't wait till you're down and then give the knife a twist. They love you. They encourage you. Hang tough. And encourage them all. Practical, important things. What does it actually say in verse 24? Ponder it. It says, sorry, let me just go to 23 where we were looking. What does it say in 23? It says, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. Praying every day. Studying God's word every day. Being immersed. Meeting together. Encouraging one another. Seeking God's will urgently. Trying to be about it. Daring to step out further and further in faith. And when awful things happen, hanging tough. I'll finish with these words. In Hebrews 13, after the writer to the Hebrews has said vast numbers of things about heroes of the Christian faith, he says in verse 7, these words in the very end of Hebrews. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. That includes people like Barnabas, of course. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. When you're searching through the Lord's word and you come across a character like Barnabas, who Luke treasures and lifts up, it is a profoundly good thing to do, to imitate their faith. Please, Lord, give us hearts and minds and wills like Barnabas. Give us a faith like him. Fill us as you filled him. And use us as you used him. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you.